On an unseasonably warm day in the spring of 1999, I got a call at work from an old college friend, John Hankey. I was working as the marketing director for the Austin American Statesman website. "Hey dude, I'm in Austin," he said. "I've got something to show you. Can I come by your house?" At the time, John was working for a new startup in Silicon Valley, but didn't want to tell me about the project on the phone. I pressed him for more details, but he insisted on coming by that night. "It's really something you need to see in person." John and I had been friends for 15 years, having met the Sunday before the first day of classes our freshman year at the University of Texas in 1985. I was assigned a room in Jester Residence Hall. The residential hall occupied a full city block. At the time, it was the largest dormitory in North America, with 3,200 students, and had its own zip code. Its generic rooms and endless fluorescent-lit hallways were almost prison-like, and not exactly hospitable for freshmen away from home for the first time. That evening, I signed up on the sheet outside my RA's door to go to dinner with a group of girls from Kinsolving, the all-female dorm on the other side of campus. It is worth noting that only undergrads with nowhere else to eat signed up for such an outing. The dorm's cafeterias were closed on Sunday evenings, and we were left to our own devices to find sustenance. For many freshmen, this meant dinner at their fraternity or sorority house, assuming, of course, that you had the means to join a fraternity or a sorority. And even if you weren't in the Greek system, you should at least be able to find a friend and order pizza together. Signing up on that RA's list was taking a risk in a way, socially speaking. It was essentially adding your name to a list that could have been entitled "List of Students with No Money or Friends." My roommate, Kevin Brown from San Marcos, Texas, was an accomplished trumpet player, had joined the Longhorn Band, and was already busy with his new friends from the band. After seeing five other students on the list, I added my name. I was concerned as my floormates gathered outside my RA's door at the appointed time, a foreign exchange electrical engineering major from Korea, a burly kid from Harlingen, me, a pimply-faced 6'3" string bean, and this quiet, serious kid who lived eight doors down from my room and whom I hadn't quite figured out. He was a Texas tan, good-looking guy with a medium build and appeared to be working on his non-ironic mustache, maybe a West Texas version of Charlie Sheen. Through the open door of his room, I had noticed a funny-looking personal computer. He was the only student on our hall with his own computer. I seriously considered ditching dinner, but I had been the one to recruit the kid from down the hall, so I was stuck. Surveying our crew that night, I was worried about our floor's ability to represent. You see, I knew what awaited us on the other side of campus. Kinsolving was home to 600 freshman co-eds, and I had gotten a job as the cafeteria's salad bar guy there. Somewhere along that hot summer night's long trek across the 40-acre campus from Jester to Kinsolving, I found myself walking with a reserved young man with a mustache. "So, what's your major?" I asked. "I'm Plan 2."
"You're Plan 2?
Why is that so surprising to you?"
"Oh no, it's just that I saw one of those t-shirts on campus earlier this week. You know, the one that reads, 'I haven't declared a major, but I plan to.' I thought it was genius."
"Yeah, they gave us those at our orientation, but I haven't worn mine," he said with a laugh.
"Why not?"
I asked, half expecting him to say it was the wrong size or color. "It's a little showy, don't you think?" For most in the program, this showy shirt was worn proudly on campus because it meant that you were a cut above, part of a select academic pedigree worthy of a more rigorous and independent curriculum that the university crafted for the valedictorians and National Merit Scholarship finalists in the crowd. It was common knowledge that many of these students could have gone to Princeton, Harvard, or Stanford, but had decided on the unique interdisciplinary program of UT's Plan 2. I had obviously underestimated this guy.
"Where are you from?" I asked.
"A little town out in West Texas. How about you?"
"Houston," I replied. "Austin must be a change."
"Well, Jester is about three times as big as my hometown," he shared.
"Ha!" I guffawed in amazement. and then said to the students walking a few paces in front of us, "Hey guys, our dorm is 3 times as big as this guy's hometown." John didn't seem to find the humor in this.